SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
An update there, and maybe a little May Dan glance as well. Good morning, Dick.
I do not have an update on Sylvester.
Okay.
He's been red hot. He's had three wins in the last couple of days of racing, but they send me so many emails that I'm sure they sent me an update, and it got buried with all the other emails they sent me. So. I will try to F at that, as we like to say. But, he's been riding very well the last couple of days. And what I did was the last 2 days is 18 races. I just wrote down all the winning trainers and jockeys, and it gets spread out. Other than D'Souza having three, no one else had more than one. So we had that one streak there where Zach Purden won 7 out of 11 races. Joe Marrera's back. He had a winner on Sunday, but nothing yesterday at Happy Valley. And then the trainers, Frankie Lohr had three winners in the last two cards of racing, and El Ho won three races. And that was a little bit unusual because he's only a 7% winning trainer, but he wound up getting red hot the last couple of days of racing. So
at the beginning of the meet, he broke running, Ho, because we kind of focused in on him early on.
And, you know, and he's kind of typical, Steve, when you look at these win percentages of trainers, he's 7%. The 7% makes sense in 14-horse fields. You know,
yep.
You're running eight horse fields, and you should be winning 12%.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
7% is right around par. Happy Valley runs 12 horse races. Shot 10 on the turf runs 14. They had eight yesterday, and they had couple of pretty good prices. Let me find them. Yeah, 88-1 shot won the seventh race, high five.
Wow.
And, and then when they post, what's great about that is when they post a number for win, it says 883. You're like, oh, Michael. But it's $10 bets. And then there was a 48-1 winning the last race of the day yesterday. So lots of big prices at Happy Valley. The racing was very competitive. And what you see over and over is it helps to save ground. Now, you can save ground by either having a good post position or having a quick horse that can get over. Because the stewards rule with a strong hand, you don't get the shenanigans that we get over here with cutting off or floating horses wide and dropping in and stuff like that. So it's very legitimately run. If you can't save ground, you're going to race without cover. Sometimes that's okay, especially if there's a slow pace. You don't want anyone in front of you when you go to make your run. But what you often see is the horses that are in behind on the inside, the field kind of fans out in the stretch. It's a big, wide stretch, and horses are not afraid to go out to the middle of the track. And usually a seam can open up for the horse that's been kind of bottled up. So saving ground, very important, like it is in all turf racing. But over there, I think it's especially so because the field size is so big, there's not that many opportunities to get over and save ground. And the field sizes also create honest pace scenarios where rarely does a horse get loose on a really easy lead. There's usually someone pushing it because it's the horse next to him, and he has to go too. So fairly run races, fairly in the sense that honestly run races. And but yet, outcomes that could be 80-1, even money, odds on. A nice obvious mix of parimutuel results.
Yeah, and that's what makes it fun. That's you know, the people that have caught on to Hong Kong in recent years, that's exactly, you know, it's exactly what they like about it.
Yeah, yeah, and if you put the work in, and there's lots of data to mine, if you want them to do the work, there's lots of stuff there. Today, Sunday is the next Carter race, late Saturday night for us. And that'll be a shot 10. And there's four all-weather turf, all-weather track races on Sunday. There's 11 races on Sunday because the first race, lo and behold, has a four-horse field. I thought I was seeing things when I printed this out. And it's a 95-plus handicap, which means, you know, you could have 95 up to, you know, 130. And actually, the high-rated horse has been racing, is rated at 120, and has been as high as 123 this year, the lowest-rated horse in the 90s. So you have a big, wide discrepancy between first and fourth. But the fourth horse is the early favorite. I use Australian Racing has a morning line that they make available pretty early, and they have Gunnison, the four, as the favorite. And he's been in good form, but he's moving up in class. And I'm sure this will just be a prep race for future stakes engagements that these horses need in the race. There's another 95-plus race later in the card, and that is, I think it's race number 8. And that's going to go 1,600 meters, the one-turn mile at shot 10. And that drew 9 horses and some really tough horses. Who else but you, who won last time out by 2 lengths, going 7 furlongs. He goes back to, stretches back out to a mile. And you can tell it's a good race because there's a tightness with the weights and a tightness in the ratings. But you don't have that big spread that you can get in handicap races where some of these horses are just up against it. So the higher rated horses get the penalty of the weight. And this is 95 plus, so this goes up to the highest rated horse, and here is 120. And that's the one horse Season's Bloom. So we got 2 95 plus races, one going short, one going long. 1600 meters, not really too long. Give you a couple of selections. Race 4, we're on the turf. We're going to go 1400 meters, one turn, right hand race. I like number 9, Fun Times. And it's been finishing its races really well. Their comment lines pick up everything. So when you look at the comment lines, you see a lot of bump, tell, you know, tough trip, things like that. And then that's accurate because there are a lot of tough trips when you have 14 horse fields. This one has been especially in trouble in its recent starts. But I like how it draws post 8, can, you know, kind of break and maybe drop in. And if we can do that, I think we have more than enough class to run these down in the end. It's also a race where, even though the rating is 40 to 60, the real rating is 44 to 57. So the highest weighted horse is 57, lowest weighted horse is 44. And that just makes it a tighter, compact group of horses in terms of talent and accomplishments and things like that. Many of these horses have not won a race. Some have. Some haven't won in Hong Kong. Some have. So you're looking at that as you're going through the field. So horses like the 3, the 6, they're kind of like automatic toss-outs. But the 9 horse hasn't won, but he's run very competitively against this level. And that's all I have to look at. I'm not looking at a horse is going to move way up the weight scale. I'm just looking at a horse who can win the fourth race at a nice price.
Well, and looking the 9 and the fourth, Fun Times, Dick, and assuming that D'Souza is okay to ride, a quick explanation for people, you know, that rating and how, you know, he's at 0, and so unchanged, and the others are either going up or down the scale that we talk about.
Basically, it goes off their last race. So he was 48 his last race, and he finished 4th, 2.5 lengths behind. So he didn't move up, he didn't move down. So he comes back at 48, which is equivalent to 122 pounds. When you notice horses that have been, the 5 horse, Happy Hour, was 59, dropped to 56, 54, 52, now he's 50. So his form is declining. And that's obvious when you look at his finishes. He's been 12th, 8th, 4th, 9th, beaten 11th. So his ratings are going down. Now, dangerously, he picks up Zach Purton. And, you know, that's that catches my eye because Zach Purton's as good as there is over there. And this is a horse who on paper looks like the form is declining. It probably is. But now getting in with 124 pounds where he had been carrying a little bit more than that, he becomes live. I just didn't like post 12 for a happy hour. I think that's going to be awfully tough for his running style to overcome.
All right.
And then a long shot. Race number five, it's a 60 to 80 handicap. And I went with number six, Utopia Life. And it's an Australian horse who had one run at Sha Tin. That was on February 10th. And ran a nice race, actually moved into second, kind of flattened out in the drive, went off at 56 to 1 that day, so there were no expectations. Wore blinkers that day. The blinkers come off today. D'Souza is named to ride, and I'd love to see him be on it. And I looked up his Australian record, and he had a couple starts in Australia. They were pretty good. So he's come in, but more importantly, he's had the race over the track. He comes back in 2 weeks. And whether D'Souza rides back or not, he's in good enough form to attract a rider of D'Souza's quality. And he's 25 to 1 morning line. I think he'll be less than that. But his internal fractions in that race last time out were extremely fast. Because what you see in Hong Kong is it's almost like our quarter horse racing. The minute the starter presses the button, that's when the timing starts, not when someone drops a flag or races by a timing pole. So these are exact distances. And therefore, let me turn that off. Therefore, when I turned it off. Yes. So the first furlong is usually slow, and then it's much, much quicker because the first furlong is from a standing start. So his internal fractions last time were 21.14, 23.35. So he gets out. He comes home in 44 and change really fast. And not badly beaten against this group. So he's not moving up in class. He draws post three. This is a straightaway. So the post isn't that important. But I think the race over the track, coming back 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, excuse me. He just had a price. That one jumps off the page to me when I see 25-1. I'm thinking, man, if he can... He can just improve a little bit off that last race. He's right there. So those are the nice type horses. When you look back and see, well, who won at these big prices, and then you look up their form after they won, and you say, well, dude, I didn't see that coming. And then, but then you look, well, it's been light, various things. And in handicap racing, you don't see a lot of ones and twos and threes winning. You don't see the high weight horses winning that often. Number one, it's a chore to win with that kind of weight carried.
Sure.
Number two, if you keep winning, you move up you even keep, better horses.
Exactly. Exactly.
And have to face tougher competition. I'm not saying these horses don't want to do it. The good ones can just waltz through their class levels. But there's kind of like a ceiling on these various 60 to 80, 40 to 60 type races. So if the horse has got it ready to go, he's ready to go. But otherwise, the weight catches up with them, or the rider tactics catches up with them, and it's just an interesting race in that horses like this have a legitimate shot, especially some of your lightweighted horses, and I like the lightweighted horses going a little bit longer ground than in sprint races.
Well, the two D'Souza runners, and a quick aside, Dick, from your experience, because this is an area that I would imagine, I would think older players that have, that really recall the handicap era, that this is in their wheelhouse. I mean, we hear often that, a certain class of player misses the old style, carrying of weight and assignment of weight. Now it seems like we've got kind of a truncated scale of weight. I can even bring this up with Tony Black next. But for you, in watching Hong Kong and your experience, is there a preference for the horses moving up a little bit, or is there an excellent, let's say, basin where ones are coming back down the ladder, where they generally, you know, lock in and succeed? I'm curious, you know, or do you just have to monitor both and just catch it right, you know, based on, you know, on the regular handicapping principles involved?
Well, ideally, you'd like to see a horse coming down in weight that had legitimate excuses as to why he finished
okay.
poorly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
there you go.
Now getting the weight concession. That would be perfect if you had that kind of insight into why the horse had that kind of excuse. I like recent form. I mean, I like horses that are in form. Trying to bet horses, you know, we used to call them win from memory. Well, those horses can win from memory, but not that often. And in order to get results, I like to see someone who's in some kind of form, and whether it's post-position change or something that's going to be in their favor today, then they become more alive than not. I agree with your point about the old days. And if you everyone remembers this, Steve, of our age. The best class of racing used to be claiming 20 to 25. And the trainer decided what claiming price they entered, 20, 22.5, or 25. And if they ran for the 25, they carried 4 more pounds than if they ran for the 20. So the trainer's kind of deciding, do I want to run and possibly get claimed and get 25, or do I want the 4 pounds off and run and possibly get claimed for 20 pounds? And that was always an intriguing analysis in doing with guys like Gaston Macher and people like that, just looking at what their motivation might be. And the weight certainly was a factor. Now, weight, God, you have someone to carry 2 pounds more than the rest of the field. They're getting on a plane going somewhere else. So it's not what it used to be. This is handicap racing like we used to be familiar with. And it does bring back a lot of those issues and factors, because you do have to analyze things with that in mind. And I hear people say all the time, weight doesn't matter. Well, it seems to matter to the trainers, and it seems to matter to your results page when you look at who won and stuff like that. And yes, you know, 1,100-pound animal shouldn't really feel 8 pounds more. Tony can talk more about this than certainly I can. But it is a fact. You see it in the Melbourne Cup. You see it in big cup-type races where there's big spreads of race. Big spread the weight. It's a major factor, and it's something that you're doing as you're handicapping. You're doing like a sliding scale of, well, I'd like to get in lightweight, but I'd like to have enough talent to overcome the other horses. So where do those two things pass each other on the scale? And it's a great handicapping challenge and puzzle for you to go through.
Well, and we invite everybody to take part, and looking ahead to the weekend, and then another week out, the Hong Kong Derby runners are pretty much declared, and next week we get a chance to dive in. Dick, I do want to get a quick thought from you, the group that came together for Super Saturday, May Dan, and anything. I see Gronkowski in the third stage of the Mock Tomb Challenge, and Axelrod out there as well. Of course, the former Michael McCarthy runner, he's in the Burj Nahar, and a few familiar North American participants that'll run on Saturday.
Yeah, I was surprised. The first thing I noticed when I glanced at it was, North America was not back in the third round. He won the first two rounds in the Mock Tomb Challenge for Satish Samar. And he has an entry made in Cosmo Charlie, who's a son of Stay Thirsty, who used to race in America. And he had a nice win, two back in the domestic part of the Maidan meet. Then he was third in the Mock Tomb Challenge last time out behind a stablemate. So he's going to carry the flag for his owner. But I guess North America is just going to point for the Dubai World Cup, whereas Thunder Snow, who won it last year, This is a prep race. Saeed has said, he needs the race. He'll move forward. And that's basically it. He's certainly talented enough to win this easily. But I don't think he's like training through this race and to have him primed on the big night. So Thunder Snow might be a little bit vulnerable in that sense, that even on paper, he's a stick out. He's even money on the morning line. I didn't like drawing inside. I think that's tough with the kickback on the dirt track at Maidan. I think that's going to affect him some. And if Soumian's going to have to either go and make his own trip and get off the rail or take back and get to the outside, but you do not want to be in behind horses on this track with a lot of kickback in your face. It settles down a little bit as the night goes on. The sun goes down and the track tightens up a little bit better, but inside posts going a mile and a quarter, not really the place to be. That's counterintuitive, I know, but I'd rather be like Curlin and California Chrome, four or five right. wide every step, not a fleck of dirt in their face.
Well, rest of the card, anything else catch your attention?
No, to be honest with you, Steve, I just downloaded it last night, and I'll be looking at it more tomorrow, and try to see if I try to keep in mind that a lot of horses just want to race and they want to be there for the big night. So you're kind of almost handicapping motivation. That is this a horse that's been nominated for the big night, whatever it might be, for the World Cup or the other races, the Dubai Turf, things like that. And are they looking forward to that, or is this it? Is this the Super Bowl today? And for many of the horses, it is. And you can get a nice price on a horse who might be in against tougher company, but has a better situation as far as their training and things like that. So I'll be looking at it, but unfortunately, no, Hong Kong is like...
That's all right. Hong Kong's fine. And
as I said, when you're obsessive compulsive, you can spend a little too much time looking at things.
Well, this is always worth keeping an eye on leading up toward the end of the month and World Cup card on Florida Derby Saturday. Dick, I appreciate it, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Dick Powell, everybody, for HKJC, Hong Kong Jockey Club. Let's take a break, a little past the top of the hour, and aforementioned Tony Black, and actually hit on a couple of topics. I mentioned that piece that Scott Jagow wrote, and Tony's friend, you've heard Tony reference Roy Smith, another highly respected track superintendent, and Scott Jagow quotes Roy, of course, at Indiana, quotes Roy in the piece that he wrote. I'll catch up with Tony next. And Casey, he's on the cell. He just sent me a missive. So get Tony's out and about. We'll talk to him next. Steve Haskin follows and more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-464.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.